Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tim bringing us back with the Moody Blues. Nice to hear that on a Wednesday morning. We're talking to Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. And you can text your questions in the 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along to him. Dr. Fred, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tony.
One thing I'd like to pass along, and the New York Times had a story on this, and the headline is, Sweden has become the world's cautionary tale, because a lot of people talk about herd immunity, and they talk about Sweden. Sweden has not achieved herd immunity. Their economy is contracted by 4.5%. Their death rate is somewhere along the lines of 40 times that of the United States, 40% more deaths than the U.S., and again, with the economy contracting, that was because of problems with the supply chain caused by the coronavirus. So I would just ask those that are thinking Sweden, that they had it right and they knew what they were doing, that they do some digging, because they really did not, did they?
Right. No, I think this is really a cautionary tale to all of us who believe that allowing life to basically go on unhindered is not the solution here in the middle of this pandemic. And you mentioned many of the repercussions that Sweden's approach, which was a little bit, again, less hindered than it was elsewhere. And what we're now seeing are some of the complications of being a little more lax with respects to the mandates for social distancing and masking and others that that other countries have adopted.
And somebody said that, I forgot where I read it, that people think it's the government and the quarantines that are hurting the economy, when in fact you have to look past that and realize it's the virus that's hurting the economy, right? It's not the reaction to it. And I mention that because you look at the pubs in Britain. All right, we're open for business. Everybody have a good time shutting them down. The mayor of Miami seems to go back and forth on an hourly basis as to what phase they're in, or if they're eating, if they're not eating at tables, et cetera. You got to kind of have a plan on this, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they go hand in hand, as you're mentioning. It's not as if they're separate issues. If we can get a control of the virus, the economy will come back and reopen and hopefully allow us to go back to some semblance of the way life used to be. But we need to control the virus. If we don't control the virus, you're absolutely right, the economy is going to suffer, and it's going to suffer in ways that we're experiencing currently. So we need to really focus on getting control of this virus. And right now, as you can see from the data that keeps rolling in almost on a daily basis, yesterday the United States reported more than 60,000 cases, its highest number since the pandemic started in this country. And you just mentioned some of the states and locales that are having issues with respect to their restaurants and businesses. And again, unless we can control this virus, the economy is going to suffer.
In terms of I don't understand how a public official can ignore the science, do what they think is best for the economy, when, again, and that's why I have this theme today, Dr. Fred, of it's the virus, it's not necessarily the quarantines, because you're going to wind up doing what the virus dictates anyway. And I don't mean to keep saying the same thing over and over and over, but I just don't understand that. It's like, I guess maybe it goes to leadership, and you got to do what's best for the public in general.
I think so, and I think you, again, we just talked about Sweden, and I think you can see examples locally where we as a state have been doing such a wonderful job mitigating the pandemic's spread throughout the state. And then as we moved into phase two, you can start to see the increase in the number of cases being reported in the state, all a reflection of the relaxing of the interventions that we had in place during phase one and during the stay-at-home mandates. There's no doubt that there's a temporal relationship to relaxing these measures and then the increases in the number of cases that we're seeing. And then we have this discussion again of let's put a pause on this. Maybe we need to move backwards. But the virus is definitely going to dictate how this evolves. And currently, as I've mentioned a few times recently, our rate of immunity, if you will, based on number of people who have been infected, is based on some recent studies here in Orleans and Jefferson Parish, is less than 10%. And if we're waiting for that herd immunity goal or target of 60-70%, we are far away from there, and we need to recognize that the number of cases will continue to increase until we hit that number. It's the question is, will we hit that number with people being infected between now and the advent of the vaccine, or will we be able to somehow mitigate this, allow life to go on, but without having too much of an increase in the number of cases that would then surpass our hospital's abilities to handle patients and basically outstrip our testing capabilities and contact tracing capabilities, because that's really what we're looking at currently.
All right, taking a break, coming back, 260-1870, talking about the coronavirus, answering your questions. Text them to 504-260-1870, and I will pass them along to Dr. Fred. Now it is 721. We pause for a look at traffic on WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 725, Wednesday morning, July 8th, talking to Dr. Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. So testing, it seems as though they're running out of delays, rather, still happening, and they got a very high demand for tests at the New Orleans site 2 days in a row. How long until we catch up with that, or how is that harming the data that we're getting and, in turn, decisions that are being made, et cetera?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, it's been an issue recently to be able to do the amount of testing that ideally we'd like to do. And it's not just a local phenomenon. It's something that's occurring across the United States as the country experiences more and more cases. It's a supply chain issue. It actually has to do with materials needed to process the samples that have been obtained. And it is restricting the number of total testing, number of total tests that we can do on a daily basis, as evidenced by the last couple of days. So currently the recommendation is that if you're symptomatic, in other words, have symptoms compatible with COVID-19, or you've been exposed to somebody with documented COVID-19, then you should go and get a test. Otherwise, might not be a time to get testing in order to reserve it for people who need it to be prioritized, rather, for testing. Hopefully it'll be a short-term issue, but it is currently an issue, and I think we'll have to see how long the rest of the country, in addition to our local Orleans Parish, will experience these shortages and materials needed to process the specimens.
Dr. Lopez asks this question from the text line: is it safe for our kids to go back to school?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think that you seeing plans locally and all over the United States that differ in their approach to bringing children back to school, adolescents and young adults back to universities. They run the gamut from going to all virtual learning to staggered days for individuals based on different ages, and oftentimes looking at holiday periods is being restricted so that people are off campus and not bringing back infections, for example, from Thanksgiving to the December holidays. That is a very challenging question. I think it is going to be dictated, again, much like we say, almost every day by the virus. If the virus continues to increase, it's going to threaten the ability for schools to reopen. And so the best thing that we can do, if we really want to get children back to school and adolescents and young adults back to institutes of higher education, is to put the brakes on this increasing number of cases. If the cases continue to increase, it's really going to decrease the ability for people to go to school at almost every level. So I wish I could have the answer to that question, but you can tell by the differences in the plans that are being unveiled across the United States that there's no one size fits all. And I don't think it will be the case, because we're going to see different number of cases in different areas of the United States that are going to dictate just how large the groups of children and or others can be in terms of gathering in rooms, whether they can gather at all, depending on how the case increases are occurring.
Other question of that, of course, with that is, and we're out of time now, but is it safe for the teachers to go back to school? The president yesterday, thank you, Dr. Fred, the president saying that he would not allow governors to use, and I'm paraphrasing here, closing schools is a political ploy. It's not going to happen. But then the head of a teachers union said, well, okay, tell you what, you go into a classroom talking to the president and let these kids cough all over you for 7.5, 8 hours. And then bring it home to your family, and then we can talk. But pediatricians agree the kid's got to be in school. And it's kind of like, what is it, the thing in football where you got the unmovable force or the unstoppable object hitting the immovable force? A lot of things are at loggerheads here, but you gotta do what's going to keep people the safest, right? We'll talk more when we come back right now. You go ahead, Doc.
I was just going to say, I think we all would love to have everybody back in school. We just want to do it safely. And we do need to remember, as you mentioned, that it's not just the children. There are many teachers who are vulnerable to complications of this illness, and we need to consider the full gamut of people who are involved in reopening the educational systems across the United States.
Thank you, Doc. Right now, it's WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.